You're about to watch what we call an extended clip of the Young Turks. And the reality is it's somewhere in the middle. It's a little longer than our YouTube clips, but it's actually shorter than the whole 2-hour show, which you can get if you're a member. You can get it ad free and make sure you catch every news story we do that day. You're going to love it as a full show. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for watching.
Welcome to the Young Turks, everybody. I am John Iderola, joined today on this Wednesday edition of the show by Alonzo Bowden. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
In the studio, Mark Thompson also here. How often do we get him? Twice in a week.
It's a pleasure. I love it here.
Not often. I was lucky enough yesterday to film an episode of your podcast.
Yeah, we're excited. I think that'll be next week it'll come out.
Awesome, awesome. You want to tell people where that might be?
I'm sorry. It's thank you. You set me up so well for a plug, and I just blasted right past it. It's called The Edge with Mark Thompson, and you have to, Alonzo, if you're looking, let me just make a point. It's called The Edge with Mark Thompson, and there are a jillion podcasts called The Edge, so you have to put the with Mark Thompson
with Mark
part
Thompson.
In, yes.
All right.
And as I say, John Iadarola did join us. And it was a really great episode talking about your new series. So we'll have that up next week. It's on iTunes, but it's also at edge-show.com. Thank you again, John, allowing me this platform.
No problem. No problem. So look, today is they're all full ones. Today is another full one. We've got a legal team shakeup for the president. We've got a GOP Senate candidate. Is what he said racist? Always fun. We're going to evaluate that. You know who loves that is YouTube commenters. They love the question of whether something is racist. They'll be very reasonable when we post that
because
video.
Because racist stuff never comes up in the YouTube comments otherwise.
No. They don't like it being shaken up in that way.
It's always the person who's not a member of the group being discriminated against telling you it's not racist.
Well, I mean, who would know better than them?
Yeah, yeah. It's always like, you know, I'm white, I'll tell a black guy it's not racist, or tell a Latin guy, or tell a woman it's not sexist. It's always the person who's not in the group clearing it up for you.
Well, I think it's necessary because I think the person in the group is biased.
I think so. The new test for racism, just go to Starbucks and see how they treat you.
And hang out.
Hang out in Starbucks for five minutes, see what happens, and then you know where you stand on the scale.
I would like to film. I want to go into a Starbucks and sit down with a camera and just see how long I can sit there.
Yeah.
I bet I can make an hour. Anyway, we've got that. We've got, if you've been following the California Senate race, Dianne Feinstein, she's got some issues historically. She has moved ever so slightly on one of those, and so we will have that update for you as well. Also, some interesting news with consequences for Bernie Sanders going forward. But why don't we jump right into it, starting off with the legal information. Donald Trump's legal team is once again being shaken up, this time with the departure of Ty Cobb, who up until today had been heading up Donald Trump's defense in relation to the special counsel's investigation. It's a tough job, and it apparently broke him finally. Now, this seemed kind of abrupt to me. I guess, to be fair, maybe they don't preview the eventual departure of legal representation, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders had this to say today. For several weeks, Ty Cobb has been discussing his retirement, and last week he let Chief of Staff Kelly know he would retire at the end of this month, which I think is very plausible. I think that if you were defending the most powerful person in the world in one of the most consequential legal cases in the world, you just retire. That's what you do. You just leave in the middle of it. But that's what they're saying. But really, him leaving is not perhaps the most important part of this. It's who's going to be replacing him. Trump has hired Emmett T. Flood. That's a real name. The veteran Washington lawyer who represented Bill Clinton during his impeachment. Mr. Flood is expected to take a more adversarial approach to the investigation than Mr. Cobb, who had pushed Mr. Trump to strike a cooperative tone. So two changes to the legal team in one day.
You might be anxious for the exit to find you were you part of this legal team with this client, you know? So to be fair, as you say, this is a cornerstone type case, a landmark type case, a high profile. There could be no higher profile case. But given the fact that you have a client who doesn't tell the truth, probably isn't telling you really what happened ever, it might be a situation that you want to distance yourself from. The beauty of the Trump team having to embrace a Clinton lawyer, I think, is perhaps the one twist in this story that is delicious. But otherwise, it's kind of understandable, I think. You know, at least it could be true that he was planning on leaving, but even if that wasn't true, certainly given some of the variables I mentioned, I think make it understandable.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing with Ty Cobb and the name itself is hilarious, mm-hmm. that he has the same name as a racist baseball player who Donald Trump may have thought he was. There's definitely
might
a possibility that Donald Trump was like, I got Ty Cobb.
I never got a chance to play ball with him.
But I think retiring is just a nice way of saying I quit because this is a mess. And, you know, hiring Flood, first of all, how many lawyers have impeachment experience?
That's true.
Right?
Not
you
a lot.
You need someone who's been through, you know, Nixon's lawyers probably aren't still around. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, honestly, at some point, they have to be running out of D.C. lawyers. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many lawyers has the Trump team been through? Like, when you talk about them hiring a Clinton lawyer, it's like, well, yeah, because there's only so many.
That's
I mean,
true.
They go through this. This is like, it's comical, but also sad and ridiculous that the president has this many lawyers. Yeah. You know, it just, again, unprecedented territory. I don't know any president that had to have I got my porn star lawyer, and then I got my impeachment lawyer, then I got my Russian investigation lawyer, then I got my financial, conflict of interest lawyer. Like, there's teams for each one of these, and there's only so many lawyers to choose from, so you got to start going to the other side.
And do you remember in the run-up to the election how all we heard about is, well, Hillary Clinton, look at all these investigations, look at these indictments that could be waiting for her. She'll be mired in legal problems the entire first year of her administration. Nothing will get done.
I think that irony probably hurts Trump, but he swore that he would create jobs, and he's doing it in his own personal legal. He'll do whatever's necessary. Yeah. He'll break whatever laws necessary.
Yeah, jobs at $800 an hour.
Yeah. So I'm going to do something that I almost never do, though. I guess I'm going to give Trump and his team credit. For two reasons, actually. So for one, we've heard for months now, if not longer, that he was having an incredible amount of difficulty getting anyone to sign on to be his lawyer. And I think we know why. He's impossible to manage. It's like the guy who says every girl he dates is crazy. Maybe you're crazy, actually, at the end of the day, if there's enough of them. So not only did he find someone at all, which is an accomplishment for Donald Trump, but from everything that I've read, he doesn't seem like a clown. He actually seems qualified to defend Donald Trump in this particular area. It might be a little bit too late. I'm not saying that this is a solution to all of his problems, but some of his representation in the past has been absolute goofballs. I mean, Michael Cohen is only sort of technically a lawyer. Ty Cobb, one of his greatest achievements is that amazing mustache. So he'd surrounded himself with people who weren't really up to the task of defending him, considering how serious the potential charges are. But in this case, I think that he actually has. And so I guess credit to Donald Trump, which I will never give to him again.
But how long will this guy last? Because when you are a sane, competent person and you join the Trump administration, you tend to, after, like, look at John Kelly. What's Kelly going through now? Mm-hmm. Where you're looking around like, this guy's an idiot. I can't be here anymore. You know, so this is a good lawyer, a competent lawyer. But once he gets in the room, and like you said about, you know, everyone's crazy and I know you're crazy. When he's sitting in the room talking to Trump as his client, that might be the first time he finds out, like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, so he's a good lawyer. Obviously, he's been through this before, but he hasn't had a client like this before.
That's true. We will certainly have to watch. Two other things I want to touch on this. One has to be, I understand that we've had it drilled into us since Donald Trump started running for the presidency that all media is fake. Especially the least fake media. So if it's, you know, the New York Times and everything, they're failing and they're fake. Those are the only two things you need to know about them. Those are the two F's of media. And so back in March of this year, Donald Trump tweeted this. The failing New York Times purposefully wrote a false story stating that I am unhappy with my legal team on the Russia case. And I'm going to add another lawyer to help out. Wrong. I am very happy with my lawyers, John Dowd, Ty Cobb, and Jay Sekulow. They are doing a great job and we're not going to go to his next and, but I can say what that and is. Within like 2 weeks, John Dowd resigned. So he was gone within a couple of weeks. Now, less than 6 weeks after that tweet, Ty Cobb is also gone. It's like Final Destination up in the White House right now. But he felt like he had to say that the New York Times was purposefully lying to you. So if you are watching this and you still trust Donald Trump, which would be a little bit bizarre, but it's possible, understand that he will frequently lie to you purposefully about something as significant as the New York Times making up stories to temporarily defend himself, knowing that these people could be out the door the next day.
Well, also, he's like the perfect reverse barometer. If he says one thing, it's generally the opposite. And he's done it over and over and over again. But yeah, I think Alonzo's onto something in that.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
The group of lawyers, regardless of their competence, that surrounds Donald Trump rapidly realizes, uh-oh, this guy's not being straight with us, and the waters are rising. There's almost, I wouldn't think, any inducement to remain part of the Trump legal team. Mm-hmm.
And you really have to look at it. When a lawyer says, "I can't represent you," mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, and these are lawyers who represent corrupt criminal whatever. This is their job.
Yeah.
This is
they're used to bad guys.
A ton of money to represent these people, and they're like, "I can't do this." And I wonder if they're getting paid.
That's a good point.
You know, because Trump, I mean, historically, Trump does not pay anybody, right? Contractors have to sue him and work for pennies on the dollar, and there's all these people who never got paid. I wonder if these lawyers are getting paid, and if so, who's paying them?
I don't know. And I think that that's a great question, because certainly, if you're one of the most high-profile lawyers in D.C., you might not need to work for Trump. You're probably doing okay. But you'd think there'd be lots of like middle-tier lawyers who, just to get the recognition and like your name being out there, like being affiliated with the president. But in this particular case, that's just not appealing to them, I suppose.
By the way, middle-tier lawyers in Washington are working for the Justice Department. I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. Meaning they're not the high-priced lawyers in Washington. The Justice mm-hmm. Department, the government, doesn't pay a ton of money. That's they oftentimes true. Go into private practice after that. Trump's got the high-priced attorneys, but as Alonzo hints, what a great story that would be if the news broke that Trump is stiffing his lawyers.
The fake news broke from the failing whoever.
You know what? I feel like it's starting to hurt. Donald Trump's never said the failing Young Turks. I want to fail.
Yeah, you want to be included.
You got to step up your game, John.
I got to work on it. Maybe someday I can fail. One other thing, this is sort of your impending obstruction of justice watch. So they've got, they're bringing in Emmett Flood, and he's going to be more aggressive in relation to the investigation. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I think that we can sort of figure it out, though. He also tweeted this today, a rigged system. They don't want to turn over documents to Congress. What are they afraid of? Why so much redacting? Why such unequal justice? At some point, I will have no choice but to use the powers granted to the presidency and get involved. Bear in mind, one of the things he's being investigated for right now is the last time he got involved. He said that obstruction of justice is a trap and a scam. So that is perhaps setting up for him to refuse to abide by any sort of charges related to that. He's also saying that he's going to continue it. So if you are the sort of person that's interested in the president being bound by U.S. law, this should probably concern you because they are testing the bounds of that law every day. With that said, why don't we actually throw to our first break? When we come back, we're going to lighten things up with a little update on the president's health, what we know about it and what we don't know about it.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all 5 segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just 2 of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join and you get the whole 5 segments, 2 hours ad free. Do it now.
Welcome to the Blues Hour on the Young Turks. Brett Ehrlich, Jason Carter.
Hi, hello everyone.
Mark Thompson. 2 consecutive hours with Mark Thompson.
Yes, it's a lot for many, but hopefully they can get through it.
We should all be so lucky.
Oh, Brett, I love it when you talk that trash.
How mean I was just now. Follow both of these guys on Instagram.
Yeah.
I do. And it's fantastic.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a fun time for all. Great family fun.
We have a lot of amazing things to talk about today on the second hour. Starting off with Kanye. We'll get to that in 1 second. But first, all these member readouts and shout-outs. In case John didn't say it, Brian Vieg and Marissa LaRusso, Maureen LaRusso are the member shout-outs of the day. Also, let's look to some TYT live tweets. Doesn't one also have the right to bear arms against an overly trigger-happy father who can't let his daughter be her own person, says the Mad Lib?
Yes, that's on that spot from in the Georgia election.
Yeah. Where,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
John and I had it out this morning over that one.
Yeah.
We argued this morning over at in the morning meeting. I was like, what's the deal? The guy can think it's a ridiculous ad, but we had it. Maybe we'll talk about it in the post game. All right, I'm a Derpy Panda says, that is not a campaign ad. That is a hostage video, which it absolutely is.
That is true.
Tesla Ranger says, Brian Kemp threatens teens with shotguns. All right, so there we have it. We have a lot to get to today. Don't forget, I think today is today when Cenk is on... on Comedy Central.
Tonight is on Jordan Klepper's show.
Yeah, check it out. It's going to be awesome. Jordan Klepper's show, The Opposition on Comedy Central. It's on at 11:30 Eastern. Don't forget to tune in. And thank you for joining us. We're going to get right into it. It's hour 2, so we get to talk about Kanye. Oh,
yay.
So exciting. Kanye, a lot happened in the wake of the release of his interview with Charlamagne the God. There's a lot of his tweets. A lot was happening. There's more things that we did talk about it yesterday on the show, but there are more developments today that we want to focus on. He went on TMZ. So Kanye West goes on TMZ to talk about opioids and how they affected him. One of the things he did was kind of stand up and address the audience. He kind of broke away from the main show. Let's take a look at the video of him explaining why he did all these tweets after being in the hospital.
2 days I got off of opioids, I'm in the hospital, right? I'm taking two, hey, everyone listen to this, please. 2 days before I was in the hospital, I was on opioids. I was addicted to opioids. I had plastic surgery because I was trying to look good for y'all. I got liposuction because I didn't want y'all to call me fat like y'all called Rob at the wedding.
So that was his first, and later on in the outbreak, after kind of elaborating on those same ideas, he continues. Here's more from the TMZ appearance.
Y'all had me scared of myself, of my vision. So I took some pills so I wouldn't go to hospital and prove everyone right. We are drugged out. We are following other people's opinions. We are controlled by the media. And today it all changes.
What the hell?
That whole video, Brett, reminds me of that one customer that goes that loses their mind in the cell phone store because their bill's too high. I'm like, everyone, this is the worst service ever. Ever. But
taking Galaxy 3s and
throwing
them
up, kicking like I don't know, internet provider. But you know the thing about Kanye West, and I think we're talking about this a lot, Brett, is that he's so frustratingly brilliant and he has zero accountability. Kanye, if you listen to anything that Kanye has been saying in like the last week, it's always been what we've done to Kanye. Kanye is the victim.
Yes.
It's and weird. Him, okay, so the whole liposuction thing. It's lost on me because he is married to a woman who has made a career putting out her body image as the perfect body image and trying to and making us feel that we need to look a certain way. So the hypocrisy about Kanye West and the whole lipo thing was just so, I don't even know what the word.
It's weird.
Beyond weird. Weird's in the nice way of putting it.
What is it, Mark Thompson? What is he doing?
This is a guy drunk on his own BS, obviously. He is drunk first on his own celebrity, and then as your every utterance is picked up and splashed all over every bit of media, you then get drunk on your own every utterance. And so that's what this is. He's blurting stuff out, not really sure, trying to walk things back with the opioid thing. He doesn't really know anything about anything, I guess, with the exception of music, don't get me wrong, and also marketing. He's really very good with that. And Kanye fans, please, I'm sorry, but he should just stay to those things he knows, and that's not a lot of stuff. Just stay with that. But to get into these other areas, when you start talking about race relations, I mean, it's too bad because he potentially could be a great leader and spokesman for race relations or for really breakthrough ideas. But he doesn't have any. He is drunk on Kanye, and I think he's going to stay that way.
Yeah, it's the narcissism is paramount here. And the thing about Kanye West that's also a little bit of hypocritical is that his first three albums, The College Dropout, Graduation, Late Registration, Kanye was against all the things that he's now supporting about standing behind Trump and being aligning himself with the people that he's aligning himself with are the complete antithesis of what he was talking about earlier in his career.
So why is he aligning with them? I saw some of his tweets were kind of pointing at, like, you know, I want to align with Trump, not because I agree with everything that he's saying out there, but because he's my brother. We should all love each other. It should be this symbol of union. And I think that's exactly what's going on here. Is he shows up after people have had this very thoughtful conversation. Kanye's been away for a year, not really talking through Twitter and everything. He shows back up and is like, can't we all just get along? But he says it in a way where he just has no respect for the actual thoughtful discourse that's been going on.
Agreed.
And he's an artist and he fancies himself this artist. And I watched it fast. I watched the Charlemagne interview that Kanye did. It's 2 hours long. I haven't finished it. I'm about halfway through, full disclosure. He ends up getting to some really thoughtful, amazing points.
Yeah.
But to get there, it's all this, like, you know, I'm just being human. And he's a writer. He can craft all his songs and get them to where he wants them when he puts them out there.
Right.
But he thinks he has no responsibility in what he's tweeting because people... people expect Kanye to be this great visionary, and they expect him to give, like, his final answer every time.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
That's no excuse not to be thoughtful in the stuff that you're putting out there.
Agreed.
Does that make sense?
Right. And it goes back to my point about accountability. Like him saying that his St. Pablo album flopped or that radio hasn't embraced him since Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But Kanye, you did that. You took it. You are a grown man. You made the choice to make those choices that have been detrimental to your career.
There was a very thoughtful, he said the whole thing about, like, you know, 400 years is a long time. It's, you know, and kind of saying essentially that slavery is a choice. There have been some amazing memes fighting back against that you should go check out. But there was a statement from, or Van Lathan kind of shot back, who's an employee at TMZ. He said, but there is fact and real world, real life consequences. There is fact and real world, real life consequences behind everything that you just said. And while you are making music and being an artist and living the life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. You have morphed into something that to me, that is not real.
It's not. It's not. And that's a very, very real statement that Van Lathan made, because Kanye lives this life of affluence. He's this celebrity. He has Well, apparently he doesn't have a lot of money. I'm not buying that. He probably has buttloads of money. But for him to make those statements, also, we talked about alignment. He is sending a message to white nationalists, the alt-right, all these people that aren't in support. They're saying, yeah, we got another black man. Good for him. We got another Uncle Tom in our stable. And right. That only just erodes from the conversation that we're trying to push forward. I'm a huge Kanye fan.
So am I.
I'm so conflicted, you guys. Like, you have no idea how I was listening to Touch the Sky with Lupe Fiasco and thinking, man, where is this Kanye? Where? It's like when Dave Chappelle disappeared and came back. Dave Chappelle came back and said some stuff that was on point, but did it thoughtfully and responsibly. Mm. Kanye should follow suit. Now, I don't know if I can go back to being a Kanye fan, and that's sad for my generation.
Well, the 400 years of slavery, it was voluntary, or is that what it is?
He said it was a choice. Sounds like a choice.
That is a deal buster for me. I mean, that is so obscene. That denies all the specifics of the history of slavery in this country, right. A shameful, awful, despicable history. And that this guy, this great artist who's thoughtful and has all these messages in his art, doesn't know how despicable that is, that's a deal buster for me. I mean, so your conflict, I'm rooting for you to let go of him.
He says all these things. He's like, he made a statement during the interview with Charlamagne, and he goes, I wrote that down earlier in a doper way. Which I get, like that's what I'm talking about. Like, get it right and then share it with us.
He wrote the slavery thing down.
Something else. It was just something else. It was just a passing thought. He said he also says in the interview he says the wise man knows he knows nothing. I'm learning. It's like, yeah, but the wise man uses the fact that he knows nothing to go do research.
Right.
Do the work ahead of time. Don't just show up and be like slavery is a choice. You're absolutely right that I'm sure there's a way because Kanye is a thoughtful person most of the time apparently. To look at this concept that slavery is a choice in some way that I can't wrap my mind around, but Kanye understands and is rhetorically sound. Let's give him full credit that he actually meant something that wasn't completely offensive. You still are responsible for the way you put stuff out.
Exactly.
And you're right that there's all these, you see photos of him with like alt-right pooper stars, like at random music festivals or wherever the hell he was. Those folks are using you. That is the choice you're making to be their, I don't want to say slave, but to be their puppet for sure. And they're using you to accomplish their ends.
It's an orgy of fame and celebrity, Brett. That's what's going on here. And Kanye is at the head of that orgy. And, you know, you start to believe your own crap. And I think that's what's happening here. And you're so great to go through and watch that 2.5 hour conversation and try to take with it from it. I mean, that, you know.
Charlamagne's great, by the way. Charlamagne's like, benefit of the doubt. Here's benefit of the doubt. Here it is.
You know, it's benefit of the doubt before we cut to break. Kanye had a missed opportunity, though, as well, to talk about mental health because he touched on that. And that would have been the perfect opportunity because what he said was powerful, that people have this stigma about mental health, and he is one of many people that has the position and power to enact change in regards to that stigma.
Right. He's like, nah, I don't need a therapist. I use the world is my therapist. Anyone I talk to is my therapist. It's like, yeah, but there's a reason for therapists. He says, I want to change the stigma of crazy and the stigma of mental health, period. I haven't done no extra study of it. We're at the beginning of the conversation, but best believe I'm going to change the stigma. People take something enlightened, put it in the wrong context and call it crazy. All right. That's obviously a statement for himself. But yeah, do the homework, man. Do more homework. I watched your interview. Now go research mental health. All right. Don't go away. We got a lot more after the break. We're going to talk about changes to Facebook and a lot more. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Thanks for watching what I hope was a lovely edition of the Young Turks. Now, you know that is two of the five segments that we do because that's free. We want to have you support independent media and come watch the whole show that we do every day. That's five segments overall. No ads at all. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Come become a member. Thanks for watching either way.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.